This morning's scripture is from Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and having the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Happy Sabbath, church. I'll try to be as slow as possible so that you can get to hear what I'm saying. I am excited to be here after a long time. I think I left a month or so ago when I went to Kenya. It was my vacation time, and I spent time with those children in the deaf school. I took a group of committed members from Oregon Church, Oregon Conference. They had seen what we had done before, and they requested me to take them for 1 week. So the first week, I was on mission with a group of five people from Oregon, and we had a wonderful experience with those children again. After that, they left and I stayed for 2 weeks for my vacation. I was alone with my brothers and the sisters in Kenya. One thing that I witnessed is a lot of people dying. Young people, older people. Death is so rampant. I asked myself, and I thanked God for the privilege of life. I attended funerals, and I participated in some of them. At the same time, I also noticed the commitment of people to God, the enthusiasm and waiting of the second coming of Christ, and people going through very difficult times in life. I saw blessings of God, at the same time, the challenges of this life. My commitment is to do the little I can here and now and make us ready for the coming of Christ. So I thank you for the prayers for that trip and for your continued support to elevate the suffering that is in the world today. Last, I bring you greetings. Now, one thing is, it's part of their custom, that pastor, when you go, take our greetings to the believers in your churches. And so, I give you greetings from Kenya. Usually they say this, lift up your hand and receive those greetings. Amen. These are brothers and sisters who have the same faith, the same hope, the same passion as you have. And I thank God for them. Last week, we had a Wichita convocation. Did anyone show up there? I didn't see anyone. Did you watch anything online? It was online. I have also been thinking about this church, about going online. Somebody's watching Wichita. You say it, Wichita? Watch. Oh, so he's using online. It's something that I was thinking of the young men who come to our church. If we can engage them to do something, engaging this church in online, because they can do YouTube online live. We have a camera, and it gets the church running. If anyone misses out, or you share the link, somebody can watch from anywhere and be part of what you're doing. And every Sabbath service, right now, many people are on social media. And so I want to introduce that, and we think about it, and get our young people engaged more on technology, on how we can spread this message to other people. So we had a convocation, it was successful. There are some lessons I learned. The theme was more of the detours and dead ends, interruptions, and how the detours of life and the dead ends of life are part of God's plan to save you. When I was listening to your prayer requests, they are part of the detours and interruptions that come in your journey. Sometimes you wonder whether God is present or God has left you. But from the study of what we had in the convocation, everything you meet in the way of this life is part of the plan of God to save you. So we should change our minds. When you see a detour, it is going to help you to avoid some problem that is ahead. Or a dead end, that means you should not go beyond that side. They are not very comfortable things, but usually they are helpful. I learned great lessons from that and from the scripture, from the speaker we had in the convocation. As well, the young people had their own program. It was a beautiful program for them. If you are able to do or to participate or you watch online in the future, please join us. So we have a camp meeting that's coming. I know there are some things you rarely have time to go for, but you can watch online so that you get blessed together with the church family. I have an announcement to make. How many of you know Rand Skeet, Pastor Rand Skeet? Randy Skeet. Okay. Randy Skeet is coming to Cornerstone Church. He's a good friend of mine, and I interacted with him a lot when I was in Africa. I used to invite him for the church programs. And so I called him to come to Wichita. He accepted and is coming on the 16th to 23rd of May. It's going to be, I call it the Pentecost 2026, a revival and a soul-winning experience in Wichita. So I want to tell you in advance, if you will want to be part of that, we will put it YouTube Live, at the same time, physical meeting every night. It's a big event. It may attract those people who probably know him around Wichita and our church members. I know of my church members who have already said, I will block out that week for work. I will be daily coming to listen. If you can, please, I invite you also to join us. With those few announcements of introducing a few things, because I've been away, I want us to pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again, because this is your moment to speak to us, that you may bless and give us your word. Let your Holy Spirit speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message today is the testimony of Jesus in the last days. I don't have PowerPoint today, so make sure you listen carefully as I share with you this message. The testimony of Jesus Christ in the last days. As many of you are aware, there's so much that is happening in the world today. There's no doubt that we live in the last days of this world history. And as a matter of fact, everything seems to move in that direction. The future is so uncertain, despite the fact that the politicians and the scientists are tending to give predictions of a better and nicer and peaceful future. However, it is not guaranteed based on the scriptures and the biblical prophecy. So it's good for us to be aware that God is closing his work in the planet. And for us is one, to get ready for that great time ahead of us, and two, to spread the good news to the perishing world and give a warning of his second coming. Indeed, we can see the working of God in many people's hearts through media, through internet, through the preachers and pastors and evangelists, trying to counter the deceptions of the devil and countering what the devil is planning to do in this world. Good to be an Adventist, because we have been given the knowledge of how it will close. And that gives us joy and hope, because we are beyond these things. We are the people of hope. And we believe that Jesus' coming is a great joy. And so we are excited, and we are not fearful of the future because of the word and the teachings of Scripture. And so we are not scared as the world gets scared. As the world gets worried of things to come, an Adventist who has gone through the knowledge of Scripture and has the knowledge of God, he is excited for the second coming of Jesus. So we praise him and we thank him and we pray like John did. So come, Lord Jesus. It's our prayer that Jesus may come and restore this world back to paradise where it was. And therefore, this morning, I still want to expand our understanding of God's communication to this planet. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of the offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. My focus will be the testimony of Jesus Christ in the last days. Today we are diving into a message that is very much central in the identity of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are who we are also based on this message. That is the spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why is it important? Now listen to this. We live in a world that is confused and chaotic at the moment. Values are shifting every day. Truth is under attack. The storms of life are increasing. But praise be unto God. He has not left his people without guidance. From Genesis to Revelation, God has always spoken to his people through the prophets. He guided Noah in his time. He told him to build a boat that will take care of those who will believe in Christ, in God. He led Moses as he took the children of Israel from Egypt all the way to the banks of the promised land. He guided Isaiah, Jeremiah, and even the apostles in the New Testament. He led the church using the men and women who are holy men and women of God. And in these last days, now in the 21st century, God promised to pour out his Holy Spirit upon his people, we, the people of God. God continues to guide his church through the spirit of prophecy. That's why you cannot live without the spirit of prophecy in the last days. Because God always spoke to his people through the prophets in every generation. And what is the prophet? And who is the prophet now in the last days? God is using the gift of the spirit of prophecy to speak to us. And therefore is very, very essential as an Adventist to listen to God through the gift of prophecy. So let's not forget and join the popular teachings of the world today and the popular arguments that people have now that will deviate you from the focus of the spirit of prophecy. Now the question is, how is God guiding his last day church, his remnant church today? The Bible gives us clear yet unmistakable signs on how you will see God guiding his church in these last days. And one of them is the testimony of Jesus Christ. which the Bible identifies as the spirit of prophecy. Now, come with me in that same book, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. The dragon was enraged with the woman. This is very, very interesting. Right now, in Cornerstone, we are studying the book of Revelation every Friday night. Yesterday, it was the mark of the beast. The seal of God and the mark of the beast, the two things contrasting. If you don't have the seal of God, you don't have to worship on Sunday to have the mark of the beast. Let me digress a little bit, just say something there. The mark of the beast will be placed in the foreheads, or where? The right hand. But the seal of God will be placed where? In the forehead, not in the hand. There's a meaning to that. Just go and read about it and what that means. God does, the hand signifies force. And the head signifies choice, free will. God will not force us to receive the seal. But the enemy will force people to receive the mark of the beast. Anyway, let me leave that one. Let me come back here. The dragon was enraged at the church and went to make war with the offsprings. Paul tells that he knows that his time is short. He's enraged with fury, having lost heaven, to make sure that every human creature on the planet Earth will never see the light of day, especially those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Commandment keeping people are under attack. And that's what the listener was talking about. And so the enemy is using false teachers as well. False teachers can come from without and also from where? Within. You can be a victim. It's only I didn't have time to speak more about that. You can be a victim of deception easily. The only safeguard is to have the knowledge of God and the knowledge of His Word. Be careful on how you read your Bible. Don't take one section of the Bible and run with it. You'll be deceived. Be holistic in your study so that you can have a balanced view of the truth of the Word of God. That can help us to avoid deception. The remnant of God just before Jesus returned is described with the two characteristics. So the people who will be the remnant people of God in the last days are what these two things. One, they keep the commandments of God, not nine commandments, not suggestions of people, but all the ten of them. This includes the Sabbath commandment, which is the seal of the law of God. Now, we have to get some things right. What is the seal of God and the seal of the law of God? There's always this argument that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. And the seal of the law of God is the Sabbath. And should we make that distinction, sometimes we confuse ourselves. God gives us the Holy Spirit at the moment we surrender to Him as a guarantee that we belong to Him. We are His children. And so if we keep in the Holy Spirit, continuously getting filled with the Holy Spirit, you keep that seal alive in your life so that you can follow the Lamb wherever He goeth. For they that keep the commandments of God and the remnant of God will follow the Lamb wherever He goes. They will follow Jesus, whatever He says. They will live in obedience to His commandments. And so this is characteristic of those who will live in the last days who are the remnant people of God. Now, if you watch carefully, there are people who keep the Sabbath, and they believe they're the remnant of God. And also be careful how people want to be the remnant. You know, the other week we were studying about the 144,000. Who are these? These are the people who will be alive to receive Christ. But is that a literal number or a symbolic number? Because of that argument, some people feel it's a literal number, so they want to be the 144,000. That's why we have got break groups from the Adventist Church. They believe Adventist Church cannot be the remnant people of God. There are about 23 million we hear, but God needs 144,000. Let's come out of these people and start a smaller group of people who are remnants of God. And so they start some holy kind of small group away from the Adventist believers. And that's why we have all these splinter groups starting their holy small groups to make 144,000. But that's not the point. God is calling us to live in obedience to His Ten Commandments. And the second thing is, these people have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus Christ is what? Come on, say it. Is who? Is what? The spirit of prophecy. So that's where we come from with the idea of the spirit of prophecy, if you don't understand that. So the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now let me make it more simple here. In other words, the testimony of Jesus is Jesus speaking to his church through the prophetic gift. God, Jesus, is speaking to us through the prophetic gift. Because prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So in the last days, God's people will listen to Jesus through the gift of what? Prophecy. And so God is speaking to us. Don't underestimate the gift of the spirit of prophecy. Because Jesus is using that gift. So whatever you hear, the writings of which you were now here, according to the Bible, the remnant church, they have the commandment-keeping people and the gift of prophecy operating in their midst. So the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes that God fulfilled his promise through the prophetic ministry of Ellen G. White. Now, this is very important. I want to teach this again in whatever Cornerstone Church, because some people don't believe. How did you come to Ellen G. White? Why do you people believe that it's her? The Church of God Seventh Day that worships in Cornerstone Church in Sabbath afternoons, they don't believe in Ellen G. White. And many other Adventist Seventh Day keeping churches, and even some Adventists don't believe in the gift of prophecy. Yet, they have their way of interpreting it. What is the spirit of prophecy? The spirit of prophecy is not a book. And it's not a person. It is the Holy Spirit giving prophetic messages to guide the people. And therefore, the prophetic gift of the Holy Spirit is to guide, to warn, to encourage God's people. These words are encouraging, warning, and guiding the people of God in the last days. The purpose of the gift of the spirit of prophecy is to build up the church, to correct the church, to encourage the church, and above all, to point the church to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the spirit of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and also you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, there's a list of prophecy, of a list of gifts where the gift of the prophecy, gift of prophecy is one of the gifts. It says that these gifts will continue. Now, understand this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will continue until we all reach the unity in faith and the fullness of Christ. So the gift of prophecy did not end somewhere. It will continue until we all reach the unity of faith and also in the fullness of Christ. And are we in the fullness of Christ yet? That's the question. The answer is no. We are not yet in the fullness of Christ. We have not grown to the fullness of Christ. So we need the gift of prophecy. The gifts that is including the spirit of the gift of prophecy are still needed today. The church needs all the gifts. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it promises that in the last days, God will pour out, God says, I will pour out my spirit in the last days. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. We are living in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the spirit of prophecy in Jesus through the Holy Spirit is speaking messages to lead, to warn, to encourage his people as we approach the second coming. That's why we cannot play less when it comes, the gift of prophecy. Ellen G. White is a depository of this gift. Now we come to the part many know, yet some may not fully understand about the gift of prophecy through the writings of Ellen G. White. Why do Adventists believe in Ellen G. White? What had the prophetic gift to do with her? Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that the spirit of prophecy was manifested in Ellen G. White. That is between 1827, that's when she was born, to 1915 when she dies, because her life and ministry meet all the biblical tests of a true prophet. Did you hear that? It's not a question of picking people or saying I'm a prophet. Every gift, every proclamation, anything you may proclaim must be tested by what? By the word of God. And I want to say this again. Ellen White was tested by the Holy Scriptures. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, the scholars went through to challenge her writings and to find if she's legitimate or she's fake. But they did not find anything that she has contradicted the scripture. And so, a prophet must qualify based on the scripture. One time, the Mormons came to my house. Not here. I was somewhere in Norway. That time I was a student canvassing. And these two young people wanted to share the message. The Mormons, they are two. Usually they walk in twos with small bags. So they got me in the market in the town, and they said, I want to come to your house to share the message. They came with their little Bible, another testament, and this Bible. So when they reached in the house, they gave me their Bible, another testament, a small Bible. But I looked at it and looked at my Bible. They are not the same. There's some books which are not here. So I quickly asked that question, which book is this? No, that's another testament. What do you mean by that? It's an inspired book. Have you heard about Joseph Smith? Yeah. By the way, which church do you belong to? I said, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Oh, you believe in Ellen G. White? I said, yes. Oh, Joseph Smith was a contemporary of Ellen G. White. And the same way you believe, Ellen G. White, we also believe in Joseph Smith's writings. In fact, what you read here is the same as the Bible. And so, open this. I opened this, my Bible. And open the other testament. So when I was reading, they were sounding the same. He continue to challenge me on that. My simple question was Matthew chapter 24. In the last days, there'll be false what? Prophets and false teachers. I asked him, how did you come up to qualify Joseph Smith as a prophet of God? What kind of inspiration was it? Cutting the story short, they were not able to answer some of the questions I asked about the scripture, and quickly they said, can we have a discussion next time? I never saw them again. They never came back. In other words, they are challenging the legitimacy of Ellen G. White. How do you take her? Is it another Bible? We don't say it's another Bible. We are very clear of who she is. It is in harmony with the entire Bible. In the book of Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20, her writings elevate the Bible, never contradict the Bible. So you better find out that. When you go to the internet, you get all critics of Ellen G. White. And they will say all sorts of things. They are not legitimately saying that. They pick on some things and use against her. But it is safe for me to say that her writings do not contradict the scripture. She called the Bible the greater light and herself the lesser light, to lead people to the scripture of the Word of God. That's why Isaiah says, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. And Ellen White checks on that one. Number two, she lifts up Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14, her books like Steps to Christ, The Desire of Ages, have led millions to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. Her ministry is Christ-centered, not self-centered. Ellen White's writings do not make your relationship with God less. In fact, the research says, those who read and study the writings of Ellen G. White have a closer relationship with who? With God. They grow spiritually. They become stronger. Number three, it produces spiritual fruits when you study the writings of Ellen G. White. Matthew 7:20. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall do what? You shall know them. I want you to consider these fruits. The Adventist education. Adventist health message. The global mission expansion. Institutions that bless the world that we have through the Adventist Church and the Ellen White gift. No false prophet produces such wonderful gifts that we have in our church today. And number four, accurate practical counsel. Long before modern science, she wrote about clean living. She's been criticized, especially on health reform, nutrition, exercise, spiritual discipline, family life, way before these things were addressed by science. She wrote about them. Today, science confirms much of what she wrote. In other words, she's accurate and very practical in her counsel to these things. That can only happen when you are a true prophet. Number five, physical manifestation of visions. The eyewitnesses during her time, when she was receiving visions from God, they realized some specific biblical signs of how prophets in the Bible received the visions. No breathing. She could be in another level where she's not breathing. They tried to see whether she's breathing. She wasn't. Supernatural strength. We are told that at one point she carried a 20-pound Bible with one hand for such a long time. And that is supernatural strength that she had. Eyes open during the moment of the vision. Similar to what Daniel chapter 10 tells us when Daniel was on vision. This is a sign that her physical manifestation were very clear during her visions that God was giving her. And number 6, impact on global movement. It is impossible to explain the worldwide Adventist church without the prophetic direction that she gave, God gave through her. This church is complex. And God has guided his church. Don't neglect the counsel of God's church. I always say this, don't be tempted to live in your own world as Harper Church. We are a global church. And we are one church. And so it's good to listen. Open yourself to know what God is doing in the world church. What's God speaking through the world church? It's a worldwide movement that has been guided by the writings and wisdom of Ellen G. White. So Ellen White's role is not to replace the Bible or to lead us, but to lead us to the Bible. Some people misunderstand it and they think that Seventh Day about Adventists put Ellen White above the Bible. And some people have been arguing like that and they hate Ellen White just because of that kind of thinking. That is not true according to the Adventist Church. The Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. Did you hear that? The Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. Not and Ellen G. White, no. The Bible alone is the only rule of our faith and our practice. If you understand that, it offends some people and you don't say and Ellen G. White. But that's what she says. Why am I saying that? Her writings are in harmony with what? The Bible. It's not the Bible which is in harmony with our writing. And so we understand that the Bible is the only rule of faith. So when somebody comes and tells you, hey, you people believe, not only in the Bible, you also believe in Ellen G. White. Wanting to make it look like we have two Bibles. We have only one. We are just, Ellen White is fulfilling what the Bible says. Therefore, Ellen White herself said, little heed is given to the Bible. That's what she says. It's given to the Bible. And the Lord has given a lesser light to lead men and women to the greater light. Her writings are a guide, a helper, a magnifying glass to Scripture, a call to faithfulness, a preparation for Christ's second return. They encourage us, they correct us, they draw us closer to Jesus. So while God gave the remnant church the spirit of the gift of prophecy, number one is to lead us to Jesus Christ. So make sure that understand that God's reason, the purpose he gave us the gift of prophecy is to lead us to Jesus Christ. Don't look at it negatively. It's leading us to Jesus Christ. The counsel will lead you and lead me to Christ. Her most well-known book, Steps to Christ, not steps to Ellen G. White. It doesn't say steps to Ellen G. White. It's steps to Christ. That's why it's called Steps to Christ. She wrote the gift of prophecy. God gave us the gift of prophecy to guide the church in mission and organization. Through her counsel, God helped to establish our schools, our hospitals, the publishing houses, the mission centers we have in the world today through the writings of Ellen G. White. The Adventist Church became one of the greatest missionary movements in history. This is because of the guidance she gave through the gift of prophecy. Number 4, God gave us the gift of prophecy, the remnant church, to warn against error and spiritual dangers. She exposes false doctrines in the world today. Fanaticism, materialism, pride, and spiritual dryness. If you read her teachings, she exposes these things and points you to Jesus Christ, who is the strength of our spiritual life. Number five, to prepare a people for Jesus' second coming. The spirit of prophecy was given this church to prepare us for the second coming of Christ. Her writings are a final call of mercy from God, helping us to stand firm during the last days. My friends, we are facing soon very difficult times in this world, but the call of God through the gift of prophecy is encouraging us to give us strength to courageously face the difficult days ahead. Let me close by saying this. If you can apply this to your own life, how do we respond to the gift of prophecy? Put the Bible first in your life. Amen? Put the Bible first in your life. Make Scripture your daily bread. That's what she says. Read the spirit of prophecy for spiritual growth. Start with the steps of Christ, the desire of ages. Read step by step if you can. Let God speak through his prophetic messenger to your life. Let the Holy Spirit convict your heart. Do not resist God's voice when it comes to you. Be humble and be teachable when you listen to the voice of the spirit of prophecy. And number four, make lifestyle changes where needed. It's difficult to change the way you have grown up. But listen to what the message is here. If God reveals something that needs changing in your life, change it. If you hear her speaking something that you're not used to, be willing and humble and teachable. The spirit of prophecy is practical and transformative. Number five, share the message when you receive it. The world is hungry for the truth of God's word. Share the books, our literature, share it out. Quotes and messages, when, like now in social media, the people are throwing things in there. If you can do it, just throw some of those quotations and messages on GY that are helpful to people through your social media. Very, very important. The world is hungry. My brothers and sisters here in Harper, God has not left his church alone. He has not left this little church alone. He has given us the Bible, the authoritative word of God, the Bible. He has given us the Holy Spirit, our comforter, who will teach us all things. He has given us the spirit of prophecy, the guiding voice in these last days. And above all, he has given us Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the soon coming King. This is the direction God is giving. The spirit of prophecy is not about exalting a person. It is about exalting Jesus Christ, preparing our people for his return. We are the remnant church, not because we are perfect, but because God is faithful to his promises. As we follow his word and appreciate the gift of prophecy and prophetic guidance he has given, we will stand strong through the last days. Let us recommit our lives to Christ today. Let us follow his counsel in the spirit of prophecy. Let us listen to his voice through the prophet of God, Ellen G. White. And let us be ready for that great day when Jesus returns. For this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.